Good morning. This is GM Huffin and Puffin climbing the hill, telling you about weird things and experiences as I've travelled the world that have helped me to become a better games master. Role-playing advice and ideas for you to listen in the morning. It's Tuesday the something of May. Probably the 10th or the 12th or the 15th. Sure, someone would look it up. Today's topic is sort of a continuation of yesterday's, but I just want to round out and say that this key point, which I think is most relevant actually, and everything I talk about after this and before this is all really wrapped up in this key point. A games master is everything except the players. Having player input is great. Having players say, oh, sometimes using player fears, like the player says, oh, hang on a second, we go to that room, oh, it's dangerous, oh, what if there's a GRU there? And the players are like, a GRU? Oh my god. Yeah. And then the games master's like, well, maybe not a GRU, but I could put a Black Hawk there. Or, I wasn't thinking of putting a scary creature there, but I could put something there. Or even a comical version of, oh, look, instead of having something scary, have something completely not scary. Have an orc cooking lady cooking up a pie for a birthday cake. Yeah, just anything. So, yeah, other than the players and the players' decisions and the players' actions, and the players, and I've discussed players before, but I'll discuss again in the future, but player agency is the players interactive with the world. But the world is the games master. And this is the key point here. The world is, now the game rules sets a lot of the boundaries, so the games master doesn't have to remember everything about the physics of the world to a certain extent. But he should know some level of physics to understand basic rules of gravity and light and so forth, so that when a player who has a character who has knowledge, then they're on both on the same page. Players aren't always going to say to you as games master, hey, my character has a theory that light bends in a heavy gravity well, so if I throw a gravity bomb into the room and then do a beam of light spell, then it can then go around, and since it's not directly targeting the bad guy, then it goes around, the bad guy's not going to see it. He thinks I'm going to miss, but then it's going to swerve around the gravity well. Now whether the player is using advanced knowledge that the heroes wouldn't have and the monsters wouldn't have, or the hero might have, you know, hey, if you can cast gravity well and you can cast light beam, I'm sure at some point in your career you might have cast them both and noticed. Oops, got cut off. What was I saying? What is the GM? The GM is physics. The GM is the rules. The GM is the world. The GM is the culture. That's the one I mostly focus on, is culture. So, as GM, your job is to be all these things. And it's what makes being a GM so difficult, is that your players expect you to be all these things. You are everybody they meet. All the different cultures, all the different people, all different thoughts in their heads, all the different styles of thinking. One person thinking that everything is down and the world is a depressing place and he just wants to kill everybody, that's a person you have to have in your head. somebody else who's excited about life and everything's wonderful, that's the person you have to have in your head. And every time players come across an NPC, you've got to quickly come up with a brand new person. It's not just a name. The name is something that when I'm thinking of a new name, my players are like, oh, he's thinking a new name. It must be a new NPC. The name is simple. Hi, my name is Terence McTavish or Simon Steele or something like that. They're the simple ones as you do the double letters. They're more memorable for both players and Games Master. But the difficult one, the difficult part is, what is the personality of this guy? I have a little roll chart. Quickly roll some dice. Determine some personality quirks. And the personality quirks do come with some stat modifiers. Typically bullies. Because they're bullied, they become bullies. And as a result, they improve their strength somewhat to be able to be a bully. Because they're improving their strengths because they were bullied. Or things like that. So having a chart that gives a personality modifier is one thing, but really should include statistical modifiers as a result of that personality shift for realism. So that's what I'm talking about, though, is that for the realism I'm talking about is, if your player's character come across a character who is a bully and bullies the group, and the group doesn't like it and doesn't want to cope with it and pushes back, and they push back against this guy and he's actually a weakling, you know, does that make any sense? If a bully is weak, unless if a bully is weak, then he has a strong arm. If you do a modifier on the chart, maybe you roll stat bonuses and you see, oh, I rolled low strength, but I also rolled a bully. What will I do about this? I know. I'll give him a bodyguard. So a weak bully needs some bodyguards, people who respect him or obey him or just whatever. So all these little factors come in for every single NPC. My brain has to go into hyperdrive to make a new NPC. It's exhausting, actually. So, I can understand when many Games Masters just go, oh, Games Mastering, so difficult. Don't want to do it. Can't cope with the stress. And because there is a lot of work to it. If you make up a bunch of... Actually, there's the thing. Maybe you should make up a bunch of NPCs at the ready. Like, okay, this, in case my players ask for an NPC, I've already pre-made 50 new ones. Here they are in a book. Here's some basic ideas about who they are, what they're here for, what's their reasoning, what's their reason for living, what's the reason that they'll die for, yeah. Things like that. Yeah, I'm sure you can find NPC makers online to help you with this. So do some research, find out how to structure that quickly, simply, easily. Then you'll be able to chuck together, and next time when your players go, oh, we walk into a shop and we talk to the owner, what's his name? And you go, oh, this is Stephen McTavish. Okay, Stephen McTavish, how you doing? You're a long way from Scotland. Joke. The players are like, okay, well, they're buying stuff in the shop. How does he treat them? You glance at your page. The page says he's an unruly, temperamental old bastard who really doesn't care for customers but knows he has to put up with them because it's a business. He'd rather just retire. That comes into it. Players go up to him, hey, how you doing? He's like, yeah, what do you want? Just pick out what you want to buy and get out of here. I don't know. I called him McTavish, I gave him a Scottish accent, sorry. How presumptuous of me. Maybe the characters, after talking to him a bit, realise that, hey, this guy doesn't want his shop anymore, but he seems to be in the right spot. We've got a bit of gold. We need a base of operations. Let's buy this guy's shop as our base of operations. And boom, you just made a plot thing happen just by having an NPC being gruff and wanting to go. Boom, how easy is that? Story writes itself sometimes. Or it doesn't. Players see that, understand it, but then they go, yeah, but it's not for us. And they don't do anything. Fine. Didn't make it. How long did it cost you? 2 dice rolls on the table? Jot down some notes about the guy's ability and going, hey, he's a shopkeeper, he knows how to sell, but he doesn't like his shop anymore, and he just puts up with his customers. Boom, that's all you did. 30 seconds, you wrote it down on a piece of paper, slipped it into your folder, and if something happened from it, awesome. Players think he wrote this whole backstory about them doing this shop. Do the shop when you need to. Figure that stuff out later. Okay, so players do this. Oh, you know, own a shop. If you're running a system like mine, which has a base of operations as a character sheet for the players to run and Games Master to participate with, great, awesome. If you don't, you're running another kind of a system, so you're going to make up that stuff. I have seen Cityscapes has got a whole bunch of stuff for D&D, very adaptable, I'm sure, for any other system that's D&D related or D20 systemed or whatever. I don't see a problem with adapting it even for Ars Magica, although I think Ars Magica had a whole bunch of stuff in one of their supplements. So yeah, go for it. Add what you need to. Boom, you've got yourself a shop. But remember, your games master, you're running the game. Now, this is one of the reasons, and I've said this before, I'll say it again. Start as dungeon master. Do not start as a games master. Worry about the dungeon. There's so much less to worry about. You only need to care about the tunnels and the look of the tunnels and the feel of the tunnels and the monsters and why the monsters are there and the fact that the monsters just want to defend their home and avoid the traps. And that's it. Concentrate on that. Forget about the town part of it. Just make it a shopping thing like a computer RPG, and you're good to go. Well, that's it for me today. Hope you enjoyed it.